You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The last year was Shachrianu on fruit, and on fruit that are not necessarily new, but they're around all year, or because they're in either because they're in refrigeration or because they're imported. That was last week. Today's bracha Shachrianu, today's Shiran Shachrianu, is going to be entirely new, no pun intended. And that is going to be on a very geshmaka sugya of, does one say Shachrianu he turned 70 years old? She turned 70 years old. And Bezus Hashem will continue with does one make a bracha on the birth of a grandchild? Today we are fortunate to celebrate the birth of Mr. Gold's grandson, so did he have to make a Shachrianu? And from that we'll go into the more fundamental question, what about the birth of a child? Does one say Shachrianu? So the discussion of bracha Shachrianu when a person turns 70 is no earlier than a Chavas Yair. Chavas Yair, who was relatively early, he was good 250 years ago or so, maybe more. Chavas Yair says the following. Nearly, source number one, Chavas Yair Simenayin, the Shas HaTshuvas, nearly. Now, the context of the Chavas Yair is not talking about Shachrianu, but he's talking about what celebrations constitutes Udas Mitzvah. In the context of talking about what is a Sudas Mitzvah, what's not a Sudas Mitzvah, various riots throughout all of Shas, he says the following. Generally, Suda Shose Baal HaNes, if a person has a Nes occur to him, and they want to make a Suda yearly beyond Shnas HaNes, or somebody who donates a Sefer Torah, those might all be Sudas Mitzvahs. Similarly, let's say there's a Siyam, Chabur Shalom Demiachah Kishagam Sefer, that's a Sudas Mitzvah. Now we get to the second line. Suudas Ben Shivim, Sheyesh Lehis Tapek, he wonders, in terms of is this considered a Sudas Mitzvah, Afilu Zeh HaBen Shivim Avarech Shachrianu. Even if we would say Kikach Nir Ali, even if though it seems to me that a person turns Shachrianu, somebody would say Shachrianu, nevertheless, that doesn't necessarily show that it's a Sudas Mitzvah. It's not, it doesn't need to be Shiyah Sudas Mitzvah. And therefore, you should give Divrei Torah and try to elevate it to a Sudas Mitzvah. So in the context of this other discussion, Sudas Mitzvah, you see that he does assume that when a person turns 70, it would warrant saying a Shachrianu. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Okay. I haven't until I saw this Chavas Yair. And the Prima Gadim is in Khan, you know, agrees to most of you. The Prima Gadim also talking about Siman Taf Mem Dalet is also talking about what constitutes a Sudas Mitzvah, and he talks about Sudas Ben Shivim Shana, and then in parentheses, he says, oh, and by the way, you know that Chavas Yair? Because of Shana Chavas Yair, Shemavari Shachianu, and what are the last two letters? Says the Prima Gadim, I don't understand why. V'tzarech Ian, where did he get that from?
Why the Taf Kishivim? I've heard that she could be 60.
So what would you say? Why? Yeah, we're going to see that soon. Why Shivim? Because the Pasuk says that you may that a person live for 70 years. You may have said about Shivim Shana. So a person reached the full, we have to say this in a nice way. If a person reached the full...
40 years.
Life expectancy. Right, the full life expectancy, the time of David HaMelech, then maybe that is worthy to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have reached this incredible stage of having reached a fullness, a certain level of fullness in their life experience. But now let's look at this sefer, which I've never seen before, but it was quoted, and therefore he talks about some fascinating things. The Shas HaTshuvas HaFarkasa Daniya. In the end of this, he's going to talk about birthday parties in general, which is always a geshmaka topic to have some random marmakamas about birthday parties, because they do come up at least every year.
Hopefully.
And depending on your family, it could be more than that. Alvar Bircha Shachrianu Biyom Los Shivim. So the Shaila was, should a person say Shachrianu? And the Shoal apparently assumed that you should say it with Shem Malchus. Says the Afarkasa Da'aniya in Chel Gavsun Kuchav Gimel, Hein Emes at the end of the first line, it's true that the Chavas Yair says, the Nirlo Levar Shachrianu. And from the Stam Lashon of the Chavas Yair, it sounds like you should make with Shem Malchus. Nevertheless, Karkasa Bishirei Bracha. Even if you're going to make that Shachrianu when a person turns 70, better not to say Shem Hashem. Why? Because where does it first appear? In the Chavas Yair. right? Came in Dilo Huska B'Shas V'Poskin. So if it's not in Huska B'Shas V'Poskin, don't make a Shechiyon on it. Don't make a Shema, I'm sorry, a Shema Machas on it. Especially, since whenever we deal with Shechiyonos, we're always a little bit more nota to avoid them saying Shema Shema, as the Rama says, in his Pashat HaMinag L'Hakka B'Rechas Shechiyonos, certainly here. Now listen to what he says. He says, a Gevald Gesvara. We were assuming that there's a tremendous Shechiyonos, a tremendous Hodah that a person says when he reaches 70 years old. Look at what he says now. Look at the Svara that he says. What's the Mechayiv of Shechiyonos? We saw last week a machlokas, Balamor and Rashba. If the Mechayiv, Balamor says the Mechayiv of the Shechiyonos is the Simcha, and therefore something like Sfiras HaOmer, says the Balamor, which is sad. We're commemorating the loss of the Beis HaMikdash where we used to bring the Sfiras HaOmer. And therefore you don't see a Shechiyonos Sfiras HaOmer because the Mechayiv is the Simcha. And the Rashba argued. And the Rashba said, what's Mechayiv of Shechiyonos? Not Simcha, but To'eles. Gain, benefit. And that's why, if a person dies and leaves over Yerusha, what will his Yoresh say after he says Dayan HaEmes? He'll say Shechar, not because he's happy, but because he got a gain. There was a benefit, there was a To'eles, there was some financial gain. Well, do either of those svaras apply when a person got to 70? At least if he goes with the route that the Baal HaMor was taking, he says, when a person gets to 70, why? That's all of a sudden a reason to be overjoyed. Maybe he'll be more contemplative. And skip right after the underlined lines. What happened when he got older? When he got older, he started crying and he said, "What am I going to do? I have so many mitzvahs that I have to do." And if that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's attitude to reaching advanced age, certainly the little flies on the wall like us, we should certainly wonder if we fulfilled our responsibilities in this world when we get to that point. So therefore, is there simcha? Why would you make a bracha? There's no simcha. And then he continues after the three dots. Maybe you just want to express HaKras HaTov having reached this point. V'shechiyonu, right? Literally, shechiyonu. V'im l'hodas Hashem Yisparach al-shechiyonu ad-ko, that he gave his life till thus far. Well, what does that have to do with reaching 70? Halakol neshama talaka. And Chazal say, halakol neshima v'neshima. And every day we say, ma'afzer neshama zefkar v'mesu. We say, we thank God for our life every day. And therefore, shechiyonu eina elu b'makom simcha. Even though he says, look at the underlined line, Vafi shows us through this Hodah. Even though the Prima Gadim that we saw in the previous source, all the Prima Gadim says is that we should make a Shechiyonu. But he agreed that it would be a Sudas Mitzvah, or at least a Sudas Hodah, a Sudas Mitzvah. So it could be there is a reason to make a Sudas Hodah when a person reaches 70, and maybe it might even be considered a Sudas Mitzvah, because it's a Sudah of thanking Hashem. But to say Shechiyonu, the Mechayiv has to be Simcha, and he doesn't understand, this posek, what the Simcha should be. So I did a little research who this Shas HaShu, Zafar Kesad Anya, is, and apparently it's somebody named Rav David Ben Rav Baruch Kalman Sperber, who was apparently the Gadol of Romania before the Holocaust, and he was the main posek in Romania. After the Holocaust, when they had all the Gunashalas from the Holocaust, he was one of the big go-to men in at least in Romania. He made Aliyah in 1950, died in 1962. Thank you to the Bar Ilan for his biography. So, you mentioned before that there is some reason, perhaps, when a person reaches certain birthdays, that maybe there is something special. V'yesh lomar smach min Moed Katan Chavches, in the next paragraph. The story in Moed Katan is Rav Yosef, when he turned 60, he taka made a Yom Tov L'Rabbanan. He made a party. Why? Because Omer nafkili mikoreis. The fact that I got to 60 shows that I am not a bar koreis. But still, all you see from that story is that you should make a party. You should thank Hashem. That doesn't necessarily mean that you should recite a Shechiyonu. It's a different mechayiv than making a Sudas Hoda'a. And then look at the last paragraph, right before, sourcing before. Then he adds, as an aside, what did he have in the Torah from the Chasam Sofer? V'agav, ask him at Shemasasi from the Chasam Sofer. Daily Yisrael loch yomim l'adato. Right? You know, there's a famous story. Who was it from? Was it the mother of the Brisker Rav or the mother of Reb Chaim? I remember one of the somebody from the Bris dynasty said some comment to his mother about a birthday party. His mother said the only birthday party that you see in Chumash is Paro's birthday party. Vayibi Yom Haledato says Paro, something like that. So the Chasam Sofer Taka says it's not a Jewish thing to make a birthday party. If anything, Kiyim, as Yom Shah sent the last line of source number 3. Kiyim, if anything, is Yom Shenechas Baris Shalav Ravinu. However, he concludes that there is a minhag olam shi'as adam suda b'yom shalom. There is a minhag taka to make a birthday party, he concludes. But apparently Chasam Sofer was not so, didn't really understand why. Either way, it sounds, the Prima Gadim rejects the Chavas Yair. The Safak Sadania says he doesn't understand why you should, because it doesn't necessarily, it shouldn't, the fact that your person gets to be 70 years old, that's not a reason to be overjoyed. And finally, Paskins at Tzitz Eliezer, he says when he quotes the Shiuri Bracha that we saw quoted earlier, who says that you shouldn't say Shema Malchus. And then he quotes at the end the Tzitz Eliezer, the second paragraph of the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Yudches Siman Lamed Gimel. He quotes Sefer Yishri Lei, which was from one of the Rishon LeZion's. Rishon LeZion doesn't necessarily mean the chief rabbi of Israel. Rishon LeZion was the name that they gave the greatest Talmud Chacham of the greatest Iraqi Talmud Chacham, I think. And then when they came to Eretz Yisrael, so the Sephardi chief rabbi ended up being called the Rishon LeZion. I think that's the history of that title. So I'm not sure if this Sefer Baal HaNediv Lev, the Rishon LeZion, is necessarily one of the previous chief rabbis, or it's from the old country. What's the proper thing to do when a person reaches 70? Because they don't want to get into the Shiloh. Should I say L'Shem Malchus? Should I not say L'Shem Malchus? Therefore, when you have your 70th birthday party, when your kids and your grandchildren make your 70th birthday party, what should you do? You likach min agnach and likach beged chadash or pri chadash or levari chadzei sidei chavaso. And taka, this is what the Rishon Tzion nag ba'atzma. And therefore, that would be the best solution to avoid any shilas or shemu malchus, to just have a fruit or a new beged such that they could make a bracha. That's the end of the first part of this shir, in terms of turning 70. That's our halacha l'maisa. A person should make a party, and a person should get some fruit, to say shachianu, b'shem amachos, to be yotzei the chavas yoyer. But if he doesn't have a fruit, so say it, but without shem amachos, to be choshish for the prima godin. Let's begin the next story. The next story in the spirit...
So when it's 80 or 90, each 10 years, it will make another problem.
I didn't see anything to indicate that any other significant birthday should get a special party. Yes, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that each of the 10-year marks marks something significant, but if you look in there, it's not always positive. Shmonim is gvuros, that's a nice one. But as you get higher and higher, they're not always flattering.
I've seen the Europeans that at 83, celebrate
the
second bar
mitzvah. Yeah, I heard the minhag of 83 is second bar mitzvah. I have no idea where that's from.
Lubavitch.
So I don't know, 70 plus 13, so I don't know where that gets from. It's certainly another excuse to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, Hodah is always called for, but Shachianu, that's a different story like we saw, because that may have a chayim of having a simcha and that.
The caterers.
Yeah, the caterers like that. Let's talk about the next issue. So last week the Powerball reached 1.5 billion, right? And there was a rumor that one of Shlomo Rechnitz's, his famous, and for other reasons this past week, one of Shlomo Rechnitz's employees, Shlomo Rechnitz bought 18,000 tickets, one for each of his employees. That means he has 18,000 employees? That sounds ridiculous.
No, but, okay,
but even if you have a lot of nursing homes. Okay, but still, 18,000 employees sounds like a lot of people. That's all I can say. It's like a small town. I mean, that's a medium-sized city. So he bought it, and apparently one of his employees apparently thought they won, and then it came to coming clear afterwards that the numbers were wrong and they didn't win. So the poskim, believe it or not, ask this exact question. Exact. If you won the lottery, and you made a Shechianu, and then you realized that you got the numbers wrong, was it a bracha levatala? Was it a bracha levatala? And we're going to see soon four other nafkaminas to that exact same shaila. They're not such great nafkaminas, but we'll see that shaila with a few other applications. But before we start, why in the world would a person in the first place recite a Shechianu for winning the lottery? I think we'd all feel that we want to say Shechianu, but once we're in the world of halacha, what would be the mechayev? The mechayev would be taka, the Shulchan Aruch in source number 5, in Orach Chaim, Reish Lev Beis, the beginning of Reish Lev Beis, if 5. Al Shmuos Shehem Tovos Lo Levado Mevarei Shechianu. When you hear good news that relate to yourself, there is a bracha of Shechianu. Now, the sign that we haven't mentioned yet, but it's important to realize, Shechianu has a sister bracha. What I mean by that is that whenever you experience some positive benefit that doesn't apply only to yourself, but applies to you as well as other individuals, in addition to yourself, then you don't say Shechianu, rather, continues the Shulchan Aruch, Vim hein tovos lo vile acherim. There are good things for you as well as for other people as well who also benefit. Mevarei hatov ha-meitiv. That's the vim. Shechianu is for yourself and it's hatov ha-meitiv for numerous people. If a person inherits the Yerusha for themselves, they're their only child, they say Shechianu. If there are numerous children, they say hatov ha-meitiv. What about a permutation as follows? What happens if you get something good, but you know that it's going to end up being bad? For example, what happens right after you win the lottery? So people try to kidnap you.
Yeah.
Okay? They find out that the guy, this is a poor guy living in some really bad neighborhood, and all of a sudden he wins the lottery, so the people next door are going to, kidnap him or who knows what. So he won the lottery, but he knows it's only going to be bad for him. Okay, that would be the example. Now, the Shulchan Aruch talk for itself. The Shulchan Aruch in source number 6, Reish Chaf Beis, Sif Dalet, says, that which you're mevorech al hatova, hatova meitim, when something good happens, afal pi sheyore, shema yavo lo ra amimenu, even though you're concerned that in the end result it will end up being bad for you, you go on shematza metziya, let's say you find the king's crown, and he finds out you had the king's crown and you didn't. He's gonna take you. He's gonna throw you in jail. And he's gonna. So you're happy. You found the king's crown. You got a $100,000 crown, $100 million crown. But now he's gonna throw you in jail because he found out you have his crown. So it's gonna end up being bad. So you still say hatov hametiv. Now while we're here, let's just see a fabulous Rama. What happens if you have the opposite? Something terrible happens, but you know that's going to be good. For example, you get flooded out in Sandy. But what's going to happen when you get your federal payments and your insurance payments? You're going to be able to build yourself a big, beautiful house. I just heard a story a few weeks ago that there's somebody in the five towns whose house got wiped out during Sandy, and they built themselves a gigantic mansion, and the mansion was so big that they couldn't even afford to pay the taxes according to the new assessment on this gigantic house that they built from their payments from Sandy. So you say Diana MS when you hear that your house was destroyed, but you know that you're going to end up with a beautiful mansion afterwards. Do you say Diana MS if you know you're going to end up with that? Says the Rama on the bottom of page number 1, V'chei mevorech al harav baruch Diana MS af al pi sheyavo lo tova mimenu. For example, let's say a person's field is washed away, the crop is washed away by some flood, but he knows that his field, because of this flood, is going to be very well watered and irrigated, and he's going to have great crops going forward. It's going to be good for him. Still, you should say Diana MS because of that which the person suffered. And I just couldn't help but to quote the Mishnah Berurah on that line of the Shulchan Aruch. Look at this line in the Shulchan Aruch. Top of page 2, please look at the words. I don't want to tell it to you. It's just so incredibly, what an incredible lesson it is for the world of Shiduchim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, and this just shows you how tzaddik like the Chavetz Chaim thinks. Somebody Shehuchrach machmas aniyusa lakachas isha ashira. A person is so poor, he had no choice but to marry a rich girl. It's the worst thing in the world. He doesn't want to marry a rich girl. Stay away from rich girl. And Nebuch, he has to marry a rich girl because he's just so poor. So what bracha does he make? On one hand, he got himself a rich girl. He's gonna live a nice lifestyle. On the other hand, Oyvei, look how terrible it is. He had to marry a rich girl.
Wait a year.
I'm not going to say it on the tape. It says the Mishnah. Brura mevarich hatov ha-meitiv v'dayan ha-emes. You see, the Chavetz Chaim says that because he was forced to marry this rich girl, he has to say dayan ha-emes. It's just an incredible. I couldn't help but not quoting you. This is such an incredible perspective. And
in that order.
Yes, in that order. It sounds like this is the audience. Yeah, Tova Meitiv because you won the lottery, and Dina Emes because Nebuch, you were forced to be in such a situation of being married to a rich girl. It's again, I'm not. It's just incredible to see this Mishnah Berurah. What? That was the Mishnah Berurah on the line we just said on this Ramah that we just learned that if a person has something bad that will ultimately be good, he says both brachos, right? Like with the Hurricane Sandy washed away your house. The top line of page number 2. Very top line of page number 2, that one liner is from Mishnah Berurah. Now, let's talk in the most, based on that background, in terms of a person who had a gain and then had a loss, and a gain that brings a loss, or a loss that brings a gain, and in general, the fact that you're supposed to make a Shachiyona when you do hear good news, what's going to be the deal with this case in California with Shlomo Reference's employee who thought she won the lottery? So look at how clear this Shiloh was discussed in the Ksav Sofer's son, the Chasam Sofer's grandson's Tshuvas of Shiloh Tshuvas Hisoros Tshuva. Harabi Iton, somebody who sees in the paper, nowadays we don't need papers, we have more immediate sources of knowing if we won the Powerball. Shezacha Bahagrala, he won the lottery. Then he realized that he made the mistake. He have a bracha levatala. What? So let's see this tshuva, and then we'll see in source number 8, four nafgaminas, whether or not it was considered bracha levatala or not. And there's going to be a very significant application, as we'll see soon. Yitzchak Zilberstein in source number 8 says, I'll tell you right now, a frightening nafgamina. We're going to learn soon, the next section of the shiur will be, what about a child? You say Shachiyano. We're going to see that you say Shachiyano on the birth of a child. What happens if there's a doctor who's delivering a baby, and the doctor knows that the baby has some terrible
You are
disease,
listening to BensTorah.com.
Disfiguration, other kind of very sad, genetic, whatever. Now, the doctor might not want to tell them the second the baby is born. Why? Because how will the mother and father have an attachment? They won't be able to have that initial attachment to their child. And therefore, a doctor might purposely want to wait at least a few minutes to allow that attachment, that the parent shouldn't just want to push the child away, but at least to create some kind of bond. And then, after there's a bond, then let them know that they'll have to deal with whatever their situation is. So what is he going to have to, this doctor, who is in this terrible dilemma, he has a frum lady giving birth, and a frum, husband is going to say a bracha, and he knows that really, in such a case, maybe Shekhinah should not be recited. So would he be mechayev? This is the answer to your question. What's the difference? If you said already, it's a bracha v'atala, who cares? You did it already. The answer would be, if it's a bracha v'atala, if it's a simcha that you end up finding later out that it's not really a very sad thing, maybe that if it's a bracha v'atala, if this is from the doctor delivering this baby, maybe Hitaka should forget his medical and his psychological perspective, and he should put on his yarmulke, put on his religious perspective, and say he wants to save them from a bracha v'atala, and he should tell them before right away, as the baby's coming out, I'm sorry, I see that your baby has, whatever this configuration, this whatever unusual situation. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, if it's not a bracha v'atala, so let them make the bracha. And later on, they'll find out that it was not supposed to be recited, but they were happy at the beginning. And therefore, it's not a bracha latala. That's an incredible nafkamina that Rav Zilberstein in the source number 8 applies to the question that we have here in source number 7.
So if the child was born with one, some of these,
with a deformity, you might not say Shechianu. That's certainly how Rav Zilberstein understands. I don't remember exactly, but I know there's a Rav Zilberstein has a sefer called Toras HaYoledes. Toras HaYoledes is a fascinating sefer, which Rav Zilberstein is Rav Yashiv's son-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanievsky's brother-in-law. Because Rav Yashiv's daughter married Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So he certainly has good yichus, and he, of course, is known to have the most incredible creative. He's very creative. Not just creative in Torah, but creative in stories. So when you hear some crazy far-out stories in his svarim, it's always fascinating. And in Sefer Torah Sayoledes, he has an entire sefer about the halachas of childbirth. And throughout the whole sefer, I think on the top of every single page, it has, keep in mind the sefer is not halacha l'maisa. But it's all the halachas, and it's all, I don't know if it's the front page or the top of every page. So in there, he goes through every, you know, the way he talks about on if a person has to go to the hospital on Shabbos, for example, every way you could prevent an extra bit of Chil Shabbos by doing this, with the Shini like this, and doing like this, and like that, and like this, and like that. Rav Shlomo Zalman, in his Haskama to that Sefer, says, basically 80 pages of the Sefer I disagree with, just because if people are going to have to be worried about all these pratim from these 80 pages that you're suggesting, then they're going to go crazy. You know, people are nervous when they're going to the hospital, so I disagree with basically half your Sefer. That's what he wrote. That was his Haskama. Meaning, that's what he says. I disagree with that. Happy Sefer. So, he wrote it in big letters, but it's a okay. So that's Rav Zilberstein.
What?
Yeah. No, he's an Adam Gadol. He's an Adam Gadol, without question. But it's just it's interesting.
He teaches a lot to the after.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a see. What do you do in this case of the Hisaris Tshuva's situation when you find out that you lost the lottery? Nistapakti, in source number 7 in the Rashi script, Be'echatra ba'ale hanid peses, otherwise known as Nitoni, so he sees in the newspaper, Shezacha ba'agrala, fine. Okay, let's skip the first paragraph, because that's just what the Shiloh is, which we spoke out already. Answers the son of the Ksav Sofer in Shas HaTshuvah, Hisaris Tshuva Rechaim Kuf, in the second paragraph. Hinei l'anius daiti. Cave, what's the whole purpose of making a bracha of Shechianu? You're making a bracha, mevarech al ha-hana'a, u'b'shas ma'isa, ho'yolo ha-na'a v'simcha rabba. At the point that you made the bracha, were you happy or were you not happy? When you thought you won $1.5 billion, were you happy or not? You most definitely were happy. Ki ha'yo nidmelo, in the second line, shehitzliach ma'od, imkin lo avi v'brach levatalo. Because he had kibemes ha'yolo simcha l'shach. Then he talks about hatov ha'meitiv, what's going to be if it's also going to be that your children will benefit if you become a billionaire. So chances are your children will also, you know, have nice clothing and nice toys and nice other things. So maybe there should also be hatov ha'meitiv, but that he doesn't go into. Then look in the next paragraph on the left side. Let's say after you thought you were wrong, you realize, no, I was right, and I really did win. So now do you have to make another Shechianu? Again, what happened? You thought you won, you said Shechianu. You realize, oh, you made a mistake with the numbers. He said, since you were happy for a good reason, you thought you won, it wasn't a bracha latala. Now he says, but wait, then you double-checked the newspaper, and he said, no, I did get it right. So this is a new simcha right now? Should you now see a second Shechianu? Because you thought you didn't have anything a minute ago. 5 minutes ago, you thought you had $1 billion. A minute later, you thought you had zero. Now, 5 minutes later, you think you have $1 billion again. So you make another shechir. Yutaka were right originally, and Yutaka won $1 billion. Kizacha bagrala. The first simcha was already lost because he thought you didn't get anything. So he brings a fascinating raya from Hilchos Kriya for an Avel. The Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch there in Yeridei Asim and Shemem, talks about an interesting case where a person does Kriya. He hears that a relative dies and he does Kriya. And he practices, he prav is a few days of Avelis. And then they come back, they again, you have to imagine, there's no telephones, you hear a message, you get a message from the town, you know, 70 miles away, that a person's brother or relative died. So he gets kriya, he does rice's kriya, and he practices a few days of it. And then somebody else comes from that town and says, what are you talking about? I just bought two horses from your brother-in-law just a few days ago. What do you mean he died? So he gets up from the avelus and he says, okay, it was a mistake. They come back and say, no, the guy who brought the horses got the day wrong, and really, he did die as you originally had thought. So does the person have to write kriya again? Does the person have to sit another full 7 days, or do the first days count?
Was that type of day you were over there? What you found out, the mistaken statement?
No, it was 3 days later.
Not very thanks that we see
that. Actually, you think that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about... No, it's talking about that you did some days of avelus already.
But when he was missing...
No, but it's quoting the Shulchan Aruch. Well, we could change.
Okay.
So says the Shulchan Aruch, he does not have to do Kriya again, and the days that he sat already, which were correct, and then he thought they were wrong, and just because you thought that you missed it up, that messes it up, no. You had a mistaken thought that when you realized that when you thought that it was, that everybody was alive, but they were dead, and therefore the Kriya worked, and therefore the Kshiva also worked. And then he says, no, it's not a good raya, because the Shiva, the Kriya that you did, that the person did originally, was a right Kriya. And the Avelus that they sat originally was a right Avelus. But here, maybe, once you thought, again, you won your $1 billion, then you thought you lost everything, and you're sad. When you now realize that you won the $1 billion, and you're now happy again, it's a new happiness. Maybe on that new happiness, you should make a new Shechianu. And therefore, maybe you can't bring a Raya from Kriya and Avelus. And therefore, he says, maybe it's not a good rhyme, maybe one would be able to make a second Shechianu when he realizes that he did get it right. Either way, the Ksav Sofer's son, for Paskin, that it's not considered as Bracha Matal, because for it there is Simcha when you thought you won the lottery, even though you ended up not winning the lottery. And therefore, if you just want to see the Nafkamin, as I mentioned to you, the main one in terms of that, so let's see. Hashuk Echam, there's Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. He talks about this very Shaila. Now, I just want to tell you, this Sefer that I'm quoting here, Chashuke Chemed, I never saw this Sefer in print. But it's a very geshmaka thing to know about. Why? Because on the Bar Ilan, on every daf, there's a link to, you could see the Rashi on that daf, and Tosfos on the daf, and the Rashba on the daf, and the Ritva on that daf, and the Chashuke Chemed on that daf. The Chashuke Chemed is super geshmak, you know, little bits from Zilberstein, Halacha L'Maaseh, like crazy shailas that apply to this daf. So if I'm ever looking at I'm working on the sugya of Shechianu, when you hear something good, which is sourced in the Gemara Brachas Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, when I clicked on Chashuke Chemed, on Brachas Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, I see Geshmak Hashailas about the halachas of when you hear good news and saying Shechianu. That's how I found this, so it's just a very...
The series of books, actually, has one on Pesach, it's about this big.
He hasn't, but it's out on Shas. It's in print on Shas.
I don't get it on Shas.
I've never seen. I never saw it in print on Shas. Could be it is. Yeah, it's only on the Shabbat. There's Tufcha Yabiyu. There's the Harav. Now there's lots of Sfarim. There's dozens of lots of Sfarim. But here he says, let's just look at what Zilberstein says. He says four nafkaminas. If in this very simple question of somebody thought that they won the lottery and realized that they missed the parable numbers, was it a bracha batala? He says in source number 8, Yesh bezeh kama nafkaminas. First of all, does he have to do tshuva? Did he make a bracha batala? Second of all, if you know that he read the numbers, that he's reading the numbers wrong, do you have to stop him from making the bracha in the first place? Thirdly, if you know that he messed the numbers up because you saw his ticket and you saw it doesn't match what the ruining numbers are, could you answer amen? And then fourthly, he says the terrible story that I described to you a few minutes ago, if a doctor knows that a bracha shouldn't be recited because of some terrible genetic defect, should he tell the parents immediately so that they won't say this bracha levatala. Tshuva answers Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. Look at the Shas of Tshuva, the Sardis Tshuva, which we just learned together, who says that it's not a bracha levatala, because at when the time that you made the bracha, you were genuinely happy. Wrongly. But you were happy. You thought. You were happy because you thought you won $1 billion. Right? They always say that the state of happiness is in the state of mind. City of happiness, or something like that. It's in the state of mind. Right? So when are you happy? You're not happy because you're a billionaire. You're happy because you think you're a billionaire. So, therefore, if you think you're a billionaire, you're happy. That's not a bracha levatala. And therefore, he says, according to that psak of the Yisraelis L'tshuva, then all these nafkaminas, it's not a bracha levatala. So, therefore, you should be able to answer amen on it. You don't have to be monea somebody. And the doctor, in that terrible story in the delivery room, does not have to say anything because he's allowed to let the people experience their temporary happiness, their mistaken happiness. And they could say, get along with that bracha. Let's just finish off. We're not going to have time to do everything tonight. We're not going to have time to talk about the birth of a baby, but let's at least talk about the birth of a grandchild. Says the Sefer HaChassidim. So again, Baruch Hashem, we have lots of grandfathers in our midst, and we've all had this experience and a tremendous joy and simcha of having a grandchild. Imagine you get to have nachas and you don't have to pay for it. I mean, you do have to pay for it, but only because you want to pay for it, not because you have to pay for it. Says the Sefer Chassidim in Siman Tuf Mem Gimel, the source starts on top of page 3. Sefer Chassidim tells a story about a certain elderly person who had a son living in a different city. And Kishanol Livno Ben, and similarly when his daughter in some other town, when he heard that he had a daughter, a grandson in some other town, Hayimavarech Hatov Hametiv. Amru Lo, Halo Lo Amru, Ela Im Nolad Lo Ben Latzmo. As we'll learn hopefully next week, or maybe in a few minutes or next week, you only make a Shechianu if, or Hatov Hametiv, we'll talk about that soon, you only make a bracha if you have the baby, not if your daughter or son has a baby, if you have a grandchild. Omar answers this Zakein quoted by the Sefer Chassidim. Afilu nolad litzadik ben, v'ani ohava mepreitzit kosav, ani mevarei. Even if it wouldn't be my grandchild, even if it would be some tzadik who I love, a person who I love dearly, he's such a righteous person, and I hear that he had his child, I would also make a bracha of either Shachyan or Hatov HaMeitiv. That is the sheet of the Sefer Chassidim that one should recite a bracha, not only for a grandchild, but even if somebody that they love very, very, very dearly, a great tzaddik they love dearly, they should make a bracha on the birth. Where does this come from? So let's see some background for this idea of saying a shechianu for a baby and a hatov hametiv if it's a boy. Where does this come from? The Gemara, the Mishnah in Brachos, on source number 10 of Brachos, Daf Nun Daled Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says, the Gemara commenting on that Mishnah, five blot later in the Testament Beis, in source number 11, explains a little bit more clearly. Tanya, you say Shechianu. However, if it's not just the house for yourself and clothing or utensils for yourself, but shalov v'shelachayrim, it's for you as well as for other people, omer hatova hametiv, like I mentioned earlier. Tanya says, continues the Gemara, Ksara Shaldavar, the point of the matter is, Al Shalom Huam Bar Shachyar Kiyamanu, Al Shalom Al Shal Chaveiro, if it's for you and others, then you recite Hatov HaMeitiv. Frak the Gemara, Fecholheich, the last Lachrina Ba'adei, Lom Avarech Hatov HaMeitiv, you say that if you're by yourself, you shouldn't say Shachyanu? That when you're by yourself, I'm sorry, you shouldn't say Hatov HaMeitiv, you only say Hatov HaMeitiv when you're with other people? What do you mean? But we have a Braisa, where a person is somewhere, not with his wife, but he's somewhere, he's in the base medrash or something, and they come and tell him, by the way, Yol D'Yishto Zachar, Omer Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. I think, who's this a story? Was this a story with Reb Elchanan? There's some incredible maisa. I think it might have been with Reb Elchanan. Reb Elchanan was sitting by in Radin, he was learning by the Chavetz Chaim, and he was learning by Chavrusa with. Who was this Chavrusa in Radin? Another one of the Gedolim, I don't remember who it was.
Chaim Ozer,
thank you. And somebody comes over and says to Reb Elchanan, your wife had a baby. 500 miles away, because after he got married, he went to learn in yeshiva 500 miles away, and he'd come back, I guess, you know, for Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah, for Pesach and Sukkot. So, as far as I understand, he got up, he fulfilled the Gemara, he said, Hatov HaMetiv, sat down, and continued learning, right? Like halacha requires. So, what?
He was trying to make it back from the bris.
I don't think he made it back from the bris, nor do I think he brought his daughter-in-law and son from Eretz Yisrael back for the bris. I think he just... Yeah. Fine. So says the Gemara, Yalder, he sent the check to pay for the mom, because the father is to pay for the mom. Fine. Yaldish does even if he's not with his wife, he's by himself, and then he hears that his wife had a baby, he says Atova Metiv. The Gemara says, no, even if he's by himself, but his wife is, he should still say Atova Metiv because both are happy. Why? Because it was a boy. We'll see why that's important soon, why only for a boy you say Atova Metiv. Continues the Gemara Brachas Nun Tes, and we're going to finish in just a moment or two. Toshma, Meis Aviv Vehu Yarsha. This is the case that we spoke about, but this is the Gemara, that's the source. What happens if a person finds out that Hashem Yirachem, his father, died, and he's now going to inherit his father? V'tchil Omer Baruch Dayin HaEmetz on his father's Petira. L'vasof Hu Omer Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. And the Gemara is asking, wait a second, but if it's just you, why are you saying HaTov HaMeitiv? It's just you inheriting. To which the Gemara responds, no, it's because that's where there are brothers involved. That's the source in the Gemara for the concept of Shechiyonu and Hatov HaMeitiv. Says the Rashba, when a person asks the Rashba, Shas chose the Rashba Chelek Dalet Simanai in Zion, we know that there's this Gemara that we haven't seen yet that says if you see a friend you haven't seen in a long time, you say Shechiyonu. Do you say Shechiyonu or Hatov HaMeitiv? And similarly, do you say Hatov HaMeitiv when your wife has a baby? Now keep in mind, what did the Gemara just say? Yes. So, in essence, the Rashba is being asked a question that's an explicit Gemara. So, obviously, the Shoel was not so intelligent. What was remarkable is that it's going to seem in a line, I'm scared to say the words, but it seems like the Rashba was equally unintelligent. I'm sorry to say those words, but you'll see why I'm saying those in a minute. Says the Rashba, we don't say Hatov HaMeitiv all the time. We don't make brachas Shechiyonu and Hatov HaMeitiv here and there. And look what he says. Lo b'chol dor shanan ahu v'achem imo v'rech hatov ha-meitiv. When do you make shachiyon or hatov ha-meitiv? El v'dor sheyesh lo to eles v'hana v'la'achem imo, and other people benefit with you. Just because you hear good news, that's not a reason to say hatov ha-meitiv. It has to be there's some tangible benefit. For example, there's Yerida's Geshamim, that there's really good rain and you're for your crop, or Yerusha's HaKrovim, and there are numerous people getting benefiting from this. Aval b'hanah levad, b'ri'iyas peres chadashim, lo matzinu. But just for the hana of looking at pretty fruit, if there's no tangible benefit, you don't make a bracha. And he proves it. He says, u'b'leidas, he says, why do we have b'leidas yish to zachar, yesh la'av la'im hana'as to'eles? What benefit? Hearing the good news that you had a baby is not a reason to make a bracha. Hearing the news, Baruch Hashem, I have a baby, is not the mechayev. What's the mechayev of saying Shechiyonu when you hear you have a baby? Says the Rashba, u'beleidas ishto zachar. We'll finish with this. Yesh la'av la'im hanas to'eles. Firstly, tabli chutzu liyad amar lekvura. You have somebody who could bury you, somebody to take care of you, someone to say kaddish for you. Vod. And you have somebody who is going to give you a tangible benefit. So it's for that tangible benefit that you're making the bracha, not for the good news that a person's making the bracha. Now, the problem is, based on this, and we'll finish, based on this, the Beir Halacha says the following. When a person has a grandson, are they happy with the news? Or do they have the tangible benefit of having a grandchild? Until now, we were assuming that when you have good news, you make a bracha on the good news. What did the Rashba just finish saying? That you're not making a bracha on good news, you're making a bracha only on the tangible benefit. And what is the tangible benefit? That someone's going to say kindness, someone's going to bury you, somebody's going to do this or that for you, help you.
That's good news.
But that's not, the Mechayev is not the news. The Mechayev is the benefit that you're getting, that you're thanking Hashem for the benefit. You thank Hashem for somebody going to say Kaddish for you, not for the fact that you had a simcha in the family. That's what the Rashba says. That's the Rashba's understanding.
It's good news that he knows somebody's going to bury him.
The Rashba doesn't hold like that. I hear what you're saying. The Rashba says it's this. The Rashba says it's not for the benefit, it's not for the simcha, it's for the benefit, it's for the simcha that you have from tangible benefit. And therefore, concludes the Be'er Halacha, that Sefer Chassidim that we started with 20 minutes ago says that you should make a bracha for grandchildren, does not fit the requirements of the Rashba. The whole reason why you say a bracha for a child is not because of the good news. Because of tangible benefits, and for a grandchild, you don't have that tangible benefit of somebody to take care of you. And therefore, says the Be'er Halacha, a person therefore should not follow that Sefer Chassidim, who said that you can make a bracha for a grandchild, and therefore la'alacha, since we haven't found it in other sources, we don't have any Gemaras or other sources that say you should say a bracha for a grandchild, halacha ma'is le'ber halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says that a person should not recite a bracha for a grandchild. We should all be zalcha to have simchas, and to have children and grandchildren who are healthy, and only simchas.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.